That I gotta show Jen. She hasn't seen that where my niece Anastasia is moving back up to Ames. It's sorority week coming up here, so we're moving her back up there. Can't wait to show Jen. We get to see the bridge. We get to see all the stuff in Ames. We're like 3 weeks away. That's so exciting. They also have a lot of locations in Omaha. Three total in Omaha and many more across the state. Commitment that you can count on taking care of your personal business, mortgage, agriculture, wealth management, and private banking. The commitment that I'm talking about for them is, first thing you have to do, you have to understand that maybe you're not happy with who you currently have as your bank, and you need to go in, tell them Steen sent you, sit down, and explain to them what you're looking for in a bank. And here's where the commitment part kicks in, because they know that they can help you. They have programs that are set that they can maneuver around. They can do all those to make sure that everything that you need to happen happens, and it happens the way you need it to. Your things are there. You know what everything is, and it's the ease of it all. That's their commitment. Great service, great product, making you happy. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Okay, so just to recap for those who may be joining us to start with, Deshaun Watson, the National Football League has appealed his suspension. It now goes back to Roger Goodell. He can go through the case himself. He can hire somebody to do it, and then whatever they decide from this is legally binding. Even though they said that when she got done, it was legally binding, it still had to go through its process. They had 3 days to appeal. The Players Association now have, I think, 48 hours to appeal that appeal. I'll be curious to see what they do and how they do it. I think the major part of the Baseball Players Union appealing is, okay, we set this up. We followed all the rules. This was handed down, and now you didn't like what happened, and so now we're going back to the way it was before, and we now have less say, and that is not what we collectively bargained for. That's going to be their thing if they're going to take this to another level. It's not the way we want to see the NFL. The only thing that can take the NFL down is the people inside the NFL. And if you thought that these things with Deshaun Watson, just go to Cleveland. It only matters to teams who don't have Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. And it matters to a bunch of people. I understand that. That was not a wide spreading thing. It's just, it doesn't, football means so much. Is that right? I have no idea. If it makes them happy, I'm sitting here struggling saying that if that's the thing that makes you happy in life and you can overlook things, you're the one that has to live with that. I guess I don't understand. But I understand the fact that not everybody's going to have the same take on all these things. That's the great thing about sports. It's a great thing about life. It's a great thing about being in this country, that you can have different takes from what everybody else does, and you can shout them from the rooftops. There's always somewhat of repercussions when you do that, but you do have the ability to do that. You have the ability to have your own way of thinking about things that happen, and that's fine. That's okay. That is the best thing about the country that we live in, that you have the ability to be able to do that. I think that... See, the interesting thing is that when you take and you look at the whole situation, is the Cleveland Browns thought that he was probably going to have to miss. I think the Cleveland Browns thought he was going to have to miss more than six games. I think they were probably pleasantly surprised it was only six games. The way they set the contract up, I think that you can take with a reasonable amount of thinking you're right, that they probably didn't think that they were going to have him for the entire year by the way that they structured his contract. And not for just the betterment of the team, but for the betterment of Deshaun Watson. What should have been a great week for the NFL, you have Stephen Ross. I mean, you start your week out, you're still reeling a little bit from Daniel Snyder, the Washington Commanders, all that stuff. I mean, everything that he's done, he wasn't going to come in. He sat on his yacht so he couldn't be subpoenaed, and he comes in, and you know, he's an owner. He's part of that voting group that, you know, it's difficult for Roger Goodell, right? Because he is a employee of the owners. He's a very well paid employee of the owners. And for him to lose his job, I think it only takes a majority, half of the owners, to let him go. So he's in a very difficult situation. He has the difficult task of keeping the National Football League on top. He has the difficult task of trying to keep all these NFL players, coaches, staff on the right side of social media, on the right side of public opinion. It's not easy to do. And now he's done this. I don't know what the end game is. It'll be interesting. The thing that that took the longest to collective bargain, you have now blown up. Because the first time that you go to an independent person that both sides agree to, you didn't like what came out of it, and so you're blowing it up. That's that. If you want the definition of an appeal in this kind of process, you're blowing up what you had put in place between the players' union and the ownership group. That's probably not good for football. It's going to change. It'll keep changing. It always will. And will always, as long as they put a good product on the field and the positives always outweigh the negatives, the National Football League is going to be here for as long as it needs to, because it makes so many people so much money that that's just the way it is. On a very sad note, Paige Beckers today, it was disclosed that she has a torn ACL in the same knee that she had problems and missed a lot of last season as well. It's going to keep her out for the whole year. We hope that's all that is. She is part of the what I consider, a lot of people consider it to be the triumphant. I don't want that. I want four. And that's Alea Boston, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, Ashley Jones. And there's others. I know. I'm an Iowa State fan. Sue me. I get to say that. Losing her is a big hit for women's basketball. She is must-see TV. She has a team that is must-see TV. And that team is still going to be really good. It's just not going to be really, really, really good. And I understand that, you know, injuries happen. You're seeing that. Denver Broncos yesterday, two very good young wide receivers on almost back-to-back plays, make great catches and blow their knees out. The margin for error in sports is so small. You know, I take that. The margin for error to be a person sitting behind a mic, you just can't say the wrong things. You can't act the wrong way. You can't do dumb things. Even though sometimes we do dumb things. They're not done on purpose. They're not done maliciously for most of us. It's the difficult part about being a pundit or a person that gets to talk, that if you do have an agenda, you can push your agenda. People push agendas all the time on radio and TV. I kind of like not doing that. I kind of like trying to sway opinion. Because I'm human. I have feelings. I have ways I think of things. I have ways that I do things. And I have a process on which I do that. So we're all in that same boat. But I feel really bad for Paige Beckers. Yesterday we talked just minuscule about Lewis Hamilton as another person. So you have Condoleezza Rice. You have Lewis Hamilton starting to become a part of this Denver Broncos ownership group. And not that the Denver Broncos had issues with some of the hot topics that are out there. But having a diverse group, see the times of it just being Jerry Jones or just being Stephen Ross, I think people are starting to frown upon that, right? Or Daniel Snyder. Because when those guys do things wrong, who's stopping them? You know, with the Denver Broncos, you have a group of people that are going to try to keep everyone on the straight and narrow and doing things the right way and understanding all the little nuances that you have that you have to be aware of. And you have to be aware of. Because no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, somebody out there is going to be put off, offended. It happens. It's how you react to it and how you figure that out and how you get from point A to point C and move on. That's the difficult part, but it's also the easy part if you're understanding that it needs to be done. And Lewis Hamilton is really, really, you need to, if you don't know a lot about F1 racing or you don't know a lot about Lewis Hamilton, you need to do a little background. The guy is an amazing human being. I mean, he used racing to change his life in a financial way, but to change the world in a social way. I mean, people care what Lewis Hamilton thinks and does. And that's a, gosh, man, that's such a big thing. You know, I always thought about, you know, I tried my very best for my nieces and nephews, for my sons, for friends, to try to be a certain way. To be able to look up and be proud that you know, you're part of my life, or my family's life, or any of that. And there are a lot of people in the world that don't care. They don't care what people, well, I think they probably do care what people think, but they're enough into themselves that they're okay saying things, and maybe they do care, but it goes away. So I can't do that. When I say something that I know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna pay for that one, because I'm gonna have to retract that, because after I just listen to myself say that, well, I don't think I should have said that. Or if I do something I think my biggest thing, and maybe it's being an only child, when I do things that unbeknownst to me is let somebody down. It's difficult. It's difficult for me. I don't like to do that. You know, being an only child, I've learned that I let myself down a lot, and you have to build yourself back up, but you're doing it with yourself. I mean, I have had some of the greatest conversations throughout my life with myself, taking both sides and sitting there and having this inner rock'em sock'em robot thing in my brain going, I really don't believe this, but I understand what they're saying, and it goes on every day. And there are days when I'm in a mood and what I said 2 weeks ago ticks me off. I think that's the great thing about being able to listen to past shows. Or, man, I got to go back. I got to remember what I did on this take. And man, did I really believe that? I mean, is that really deep? And then I think about stuff and I go back and forth on it, and I go, you know what? I think I'm pretty good there. That's so, like when we've talked this week, losing Vin Scully, losing Bill Russell, losing icons like that, they're going to be missed because they did things a different way. They did things a different way. And that's needed. It's needed in sports. It's needed in, I will tell you that 15 years ago, I was a political junkie because it was the battle of the wits. You had, I can't even remember. I can remember the one guy's name. It's James Carville, and then he was the Democratic guy, and he had a Republican guy, and they went at each other, but were friends off air. Boy, you can't do that anymore. A different world we live in. A different world that Bill Russell and Vin Scully and a lot of these individuals have tried to change and try to get back to some of those things where we used to be at. This is an interesting one. I have about 1 minute. I saw that there, you know, so when you work at a sports station that also has country and rock and roll and all kinds of different music here, you see things that pop up that excite you. And this was one of them, and it's very difficult for me because there's an Iowa State football game at the same time. One of the greatest people that I have almost all of his singles and all that, Lindsey Buckingham, is going to be at Hoyt Sherman on Saturday, October 29th. I don't think I could be any more excited about something than I am. I'm a huge Lindsey Buckingham fan. I like his solo stuff. I like his Fleetwood Mac stuff. I like who he is. I like listening to him. I like everything about it. And it's just killing me that I don't know if I can get to see that. I don't text up the chain very often when concerts come through. But that was one of the ones I saw it. And man, that was the first thing I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. All right. That takes care of this first segment in the second hour. We got two more left. I got all kinds of things to talk about. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I will be back right after this commercial break. Please join me.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700. You're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in once again. Happy Wednesday. A little hump day action today. More than halfway through. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Minnesota Twins baseball is off today. They are going to be back on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then next Tuesday, Wednesday. They have the Blue Jays coming in, and then they go out to L.A. to face the Dodgers. Tough going to L.A. See what happens there. Chiefs' first preseason game is Saturday the 13th. I am here tomorrow. Tomorrow I have Maddie Nelson coming on, Brendan Stiles coming on, have a couple others that I'm just waiting to get the okay that says they have the time frame that I have open. And then I'm here next Monday, Tuesday, and then I am out for a week. I think we come back on Thursday, Friday. And yes, that means for all my friends and all my East Siders, I am missing the first Friday night of the fair for the first time since I think I was old enough to drive. So 16, I'm 15 years old. Maybe I didn't care about first Friday night of the fair, but it's been a long time for good reasons. We're going to go to San Jose. We're going to a family wedding. I'm excited. I can't wait. It's the fair, and you guys know me well enough. It's the fair. Looking forward to that. And then once we get through there, then we're into the heart right there of getting ready for college football and professional football. And what a time of year to be in sports radio. Sponsor for this segment, we will do, where am I at? I've done that one. Let's do Palmer Group. Founded in 1998 by Austin Palmer, his goal was to change the dynamic by serving both clients and candidates. The company's purpose is making lives better. It became employee-owned in 2016. It even gives their employees, it gives them even more ways to be engaged and even a deeper feeling for what they're doing. And what they're doing is trying to find this person to fit in this situation and make it to make it outstanding for both sides. And that's what they're looking for. Right now they probably have, it changes on a daily basis, but I bet you it's well over 500 jobs in accounting and finance, admin, customer service, construction, engineering, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage, banking. They're getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen for each other. Man, what a great saying that is, right? Let's make things happen for each other. Let's make it so we both get something out of this deal. Palmer Group, thank you very much for being a part of the program. Okay, so little potpourri coming up here for these last couple of segments. Another person, and this is movies and TV, Paul Sorvino passed away. He was the ultimate cool bad guy, right? He wasn't extremely handsome. He wasn't extremely skinny, but he was the ultimate bad guy, lovable guy. If you can be that and do both. The NFL is getting ready to go. They're gonna start streaming on their own. They're gonna start on Amazon. It's gonna be very interesting to see what all is going to happen. It is just. There's so many TV things that are going on right now out there that it is going to be so difficult to understand all the things that are going on in the sports world, all the money that's out there. I saw today that the NCAA, so one of the things that this little group that was trying to not be such a big bureaucracy, and they decided, they looked at the transfer rule and they're like, okay, you know, we were so tightly held on this transfer rule. So let's just open it up to you can transfer as much as you want. And then I think everybody from high school coaches to players to athletic directors to presidents to TV people, everybody said, okay, whoa, take a step back, guys. You can't go from, you know, you can't do anything to you can do whatever you want. Once again, you have, for me, and even as much as I believe in the ability for these young athletes to garner money, be able to move, if things change from when, if all recruitment was on the up and up and everything that was told you was true, And close to true. You can close. Let's say even 50%. Hey, this is what we have for you. This is what we're looking for you, and this is what you can expect. And then you get 10% of that, but you're supposed to just take it. That's not right. I mean, they're so. But you can't go to the Wild Wild West. Nobody wins in the Wild Wild West. Nick Saban's not winning in the Wild Wild West. He was winning before because he was smarter than everybody else and he had already started doing some of these things, and now everybody's falling in. And now Nick Saban's really mad because he's like, okay, you took away an advantage that I had. Now I got to figure out a way to get that advantage back. He'll figure it out. He really will. But that is one of those things. And here, this has been my complaint the whole entire time that I've been on this radio airwaves. Is the NCAA at every turn has never had the complete responsibility of making sure all their student athletes are taken care of in an up and up way. We've had some horrific, you've had some great people go through, and you've had some things that have really worked. I don't know if that had anything to do with the NCAA or had to do with the individuals, but you've had some incredibly horrible things happen to individuals that the NCAA turned their heads. The NCAA, as it stands, is not the right model for taking care of collegiate athletics. Now, it was 25 years ago, and 25 years ago, you didn't have, you know, you had the haves and the have-nots, but everybody was okay with that because the haves and the have-nots still weren't that far apart. And then you got to start having the haves and the have-nots, and it was a big enough discrepancy that people went, okay, this isn't right. We've got to do something about this. And it got so bad that we did something about it and probably went too far. My fight with all this, and I just had one with Dick Vitale the other night and Seth Greenberg, is their bread and butter is to be able to do what they do isn't to be on the student athlete side. It's to be on the coaches and athletic director's side, because that gives them more insight, more inside knowledge, and gets them into places they can't be. You can't sit here and tell me that it's okay from Coach A to be getting paid $10 million at one school and recruit these five-star kids and then get paid one and a half times at B and be able to leave. But those kids that he recruited aren't allowed any kind of movement. And it was always, well, they were recruited by the school, not by the coach. And then all these guys never went through a recruiting process. At a very, very low level, my son was recruited by baseball coaches. Not people from the school, not from the science teacher, not from the math teacher. That was the issue. And they were all happy because, except for the student athletes, because they were getting access and they were giving good pub and they were ignoring the issues until they couldn't ignore them anymore. And then when student athletes started getting theirs, it's like, oh, we can't have this happen because, you know, these kids are getting more than those kids, and you can't have that happen. Well, where were you? And, you know, you weren't going to talk to the Colgate coach about basketball or basketball techniques or basketball coaching. You were going to the coaches that were getting paid multi-million dollars, probably because that helped you get paid multi-million dollars. The NCAA is broken. I don't know how. I wish I did. If I get to go out and pick 10 to 15 people, and we get to sit down in a room and we can sit and toss things around, I guarantee you we can come up with a better system than we have now. I think you can come up with a better system on how to take care of some of the issues that everybody's scared about, that you're going to have these mega conferences. Who cares? It's a mess now. Do you think that's going to make it messier? That's the problem that we have, is these coaches have enough power and these athletic directors. That's what I mean. The athletic directors, when push comes to shove, how much power do athletic directors have? They don't get paid as much as the coaches get paid. It's just a system that doesn't work. Now, if you have people that you can see, this is so you have athletic directors that if they get the right pieces in and they work together as a team, you can do great things. The Iowa Hawkeyes have done great things the last 25 years. Maybe that has more to do with Kirk Ferentz than it does the athletic director. I don't know, but it seems to be working. Iowa State, when Jamie Pollard came and he has his group now that he has, they've done amazing things. They have changed a program from being... I saw a thing, and if we had time, I was going to talk about it today. We can talk about it in a bit. That taking all the sports, all the Olympic sports, and putting it out there, and then ranking schools on how they are. Iowa and Iowa State do a really good job. And Iowa and Iowa State don't have the budgets that a lot of these schools have, and they do a great job. That's from internal people having great people running things and being in charge of things. It matters. Iowa football has every home game sold out this year. That has not happened since 2011. It's coming off a great season. You lost some pieces. they're going to be good. The Big Ten's going to be good. It's only going to get better. You know how you say all these coaches have their like Achilles heel, right? You know, for Kirk Ferentz, I think his Achilles heel is he's just never had that quarterback that he said, I'm going to give him the ball and let him go. Maybe they have it this year. Maybe Spencer Petras is that guy. Just had to pull it out. Show him. Maybe it will be. Because if you look at their team last year, they had talent everywhere except for the fact at different difficult times of the game, your quarterback play wasn't as good as the rest of the play of your team. Iowa State had that same issue. There were times when special teams, offense, and defense were all on the same page, all doing the same thing. They were unbeatable. But this part of the third quarter, or this part of the start of the fourth quarter, or that part of the end, you know, towards the end of the game, when one or two of those things start to show a little bit of leaking, how good are you to overcome that? Or if you get an injury here or you get an injury there. If you want to know what separates Alabama and Texas, and not that Texas is very good, but or Oklahoma or USC, where they're going to be, or Ohio State and Michigan, is if they get a, oops, man, how are we going to replace that guy? They just replace him. That's the difference between those programs and Iowa and Iowa State. And even Iowa is a little bit ahead of Iowa State. I bet Iowa, if you looked at Iowa's two deep, three deep, they might have better individuals there. But when you look at it and you take away playing each other, which Iowa has a distinct advantage in, and that's not an easy thing to overcome as well. As much as I'm a culture guy, right? I'm buying in. I get it. No matter what, that culture was helped because Breece Hall was there. That culture helped because Brock Purdy was there. Charlie Kolar, Chase Allen, Rory Walling, Jake Hummel, kids that bought in many ways. And the same thing with Jack Kerner and Jack Campbell and Riley Moss and all those guys at Iowa, Tyler Linderbaum, they bought in. They were good students. They were good athletes. They were good kids. They did good things. They did everything that you needed to do. So you have this core, and then you can go out and you can get some 50-50 guys, right? But talented 50-50 guys. But you have these rocks in your program, and that's how you get better. The difference between Alabama and Georgia and all the rest is they get more of those. It's tilted that way. You listen to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ, AM Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One more segment. I'll be back right after this break. Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment of this Wednesday. Drive home safely, please. It's hot out there. Air conditioning going. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Minnesota Twins, Blue Jays, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next Tuesday, Wednesday, they're in L.A. playing the Dodgers. Exciting stuff for the Twins. Still in the lead, one game up. Hope to keep moving that way. Tomorrow I have B. Styles and Matty Nelson coming in. Have a couple others that are just waiting to check out the times. So we'll have a really fun talking. We just have so much stuff to talk about. and so little time to do it. And before all heck breaks loose in the sports world, which is what we've all been waiting for. I will be off on Friday. I'll be back on Monday, Tuesday. Then I'm out until the following. I can't remember if I come back on Wednesday or Thursday. I'll make sure that I get it on social media when I'm going to be back. Once again, I appreciate all you guys listening. I love the feedback we get. You know, every day we try to come in and do a better show every day. Sometimes it doesn't always happen that way because of certain things, but you always hope that it does. And if I had my ringer off my phone, that would even be better. So I want to thank sponsors of the show: Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, iCubs. There's a good possibility that Randy he's been up. He took his daughter. They're down in Georgia looking at schools, or he's taken her to the school. He's busy. He's a busy guy. So he usually comes in on Wednesdays, but I know that it's that time of year for him too. So we'll have Randy back in here. We'll talk more iCubs. That's always, it's the best part of my day because I'm such a baseball freak, that I just love talking to him. So can't wait to, do that as well. All right. So just some, quick, we're going to do some other, I love this potpourri stuff because it is, I mean, I live for, just these little tidbits that are out there. Most all-purpose yards in NFL history. This is really crazy. Jerry Rice is number one. I think everybody can get that. Walter Payton is number three, and Emmitt Smith is number four. Who knew Brian Mitchell would be number two for all-purpose yards in the NFL? Played with the Redskins for the majority of the time. This one blew my top off. Hall of Fame players by team. There are two teams in the NFL that don't have any Hall of Famers. Of course, they're kind of the last couple of teams that have come on: the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Jacksonville Jaguars, that'd be Tony Boselli. Only have one. The Baltimore Ravens have three. I'll kind of go through some of the ones that Miami Dolphins only have 10. I can't believe the Miami Dolphins only have 10. The Buffalo Bills have 10. Number one blew me away. I guess it probably shouldn't have, but it did. The Chicago Bears are number one with 30. The Green Bay Packers are number two with 27. The Pittsburgh Steelers are next with 26. This one surprised me too. The New York Giants are next at 21. The Cowboys are next at 20. The Redskins have 20. The Raiders have 19. The Rams have 19. And the Browns and the Lions have 17. The Colts and the San Francisco 49ers have 16. I thought San Francisco would have more than that as well. And the Vikings round out that with 15. And Kansas City Chiefs, just because we're Kansas City Chiefs, they have 13. I thought that was vastly interesting. We talked about this today. So the Division I Board of Directors is sending back the proposed transfer reform package from the Transformation Committee, which the Transformation Committee did not do a good job of transforming what they were supposed to. It was a really bad ruling. So it'll be interesting to see. The big news, let's get through the two big news of the day. The National Football League has appealed the agreed upon settlement between itself and Deshaun Watson. It had an independent arbitrator. That is what she came up with. The NFL and the Players Association each had 3 days. If they didn't like it, they could say, we want to appeal this. It now goes to Roger Goodell and whoever Roger Goodell wants to do. It's probably not they fought really hard to get this independent counsel, independent arbitrator to do this stuff, so it didn't look heavy-handed from Roger Goodell, who works for the owners that are punishing the players. And the one time it gets through, it doesn't work because people weren't happy. No one's ever going to be happy if you're dealing out money or happiness, everybody can be happy. When you're dealing out punishment, no, both sides are never going to be happy. So even the thought process did not work. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. It's just, It's too bad, and I wish it wouldn't have happened that way, but we'll see what happens. One of the things that college sports leaders, and this is a lot of the TV bigwigs too, right? You know, that your Dick Vitales and your just people, you know, they're like, in a NIL landscape is too difficult for us to navigate. We need congressional help. Congress said, you asked for it, you got it. Your savior is a former football coach who couldn't name the three branches of government. Tommy Tuberfield is looking to see if he can help with Joe Manchin. Listen, no matter if you are college football and going through everything that you're going through, do you really think that the federal government is the place to go to have somebody figure out a way to make things better? Wow, that's not good. And that's the major problem that the NCAA has, and it's going to be the reason why, in the long run, that all these major Division I schools, we'll say the power, whatever you're going to have, the power three, the power four, the power five, as it is now, those conferences are going to just say, listen, you guys worry about everybody else, and you worry about Division II and Division III, and we'll bring a group in, and we'll take care of us. I don't know if that's the right thing, but it definitely sounds a lot better than what we're going through right now. And with the leadership that we have or didn't have that let this get to the point it's at. A lot of people, Barstool Sports, my kids, huge fans. I'm listening. I'm trying. I did agree with this today. I don't know if I agree totally with it, but I thought it was a really good thing. They said the three biggest brands, and it was, it's Brandon. His name's Brandon. But he was talking about it, and he said the three biggest brands in college football. Alabama's not one of them, and Alabama never will be and never has been. Well, maybe it was back in the Bear Bryant days, it might have been, to a certain extent. He said the three biggest brands in college football right now are Notre Dame, Texas, and Ohio State. Now, what he said is the biggest brands. He didn't say the most talented, the most wins, the most blah, 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 blah. He said the three biggest brands. I don't know how you fight that. USC's been, well, here's how you fight that is you don't have Texas in there because they don't have the resume to back it up. But they have the people and they have the money. And that's part of being a brand. Branding isn't all about winning. And that's his name. It's Brandon. It's not all about winning. It's about having a brand. Having a brand that everybody wants. They want. It's a brand. Listen, you know how you get from where we're at here right now with conferences to a mega conference or something is what does Notre Dame do? So when you are the final piece of a puzzle, I'd say you're one of the biggest brands. When you have more money than everybody else, I think that makes you one of the biggest brands. And when you have one of the Ohio State, I think it's Ohio State and Michigan are closer together than Ohio State and Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia or Ohio State and USC. I mean, I would almost guess that if Brandon put one more up here, the next one up there would be Michigan. And I think I agree with that. Once again, we lost Bill Russell a couple of days ago. We lost Vin Scully last night. It is not a great time. We're losing these people that mean so much to so many of us. And they mean so much to us in so many different ways. That it's hard to come on here and talk about what Vin Scully made. What was the difference? Well, I could sit and listen to Vin Scully call a baseball game and know that I was at a baseball game. I was there. You don't get that very much anymore. It's different kinds, and it's not as cool. But you also have TV, so it didn't matter. Thank you very much for listening to Steen on Sports. We're on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. See you tomorrow. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3.